Friends, launching a vision is something we don't do very often. Today we're launching something for the first time in about 7 years. This will be the first time for another 6 years. And as a parish that meets in multiple places at multiple times, some of which at the same time, Jeff's pretty clever, but he can't appear in every spot at the same time. He's not that clever. And so in order to make the most of this opportunity, a lot of effort has gone into this launch video clip that you're about to see. It's about 8 minutes. It's a little bit longer than a normal clip that we show here in church, so we wanted to make you aware of that. But this paints a really clear picture of the vision that we're onto and the one we want to put forward and the one that Jeff will officially begin the preaching of in a little bit. So I want you to sit back, prepare your hearts, and check out this launch of Vision 2020.
Churches have taken many shapes throughout history. From the first churches who met just about any place they could, to large cathedrals that took lifetimes to build. The question we want to think about is, what's the vision for our church? What shape is our church going to take? The answer doesn't start with buildings. It doesn't even start with people. The answer to the question has to start always with God. This is God's church. What does God want for this church? What does God want us to be doing? What does God want us to be? The answer to that, we have to go to the Bible. Otherwise we start to build a church based on things we want and enjoy. It's sort of like, you know, baking a cake for God. We put in all these fantastic ingredients and put great care and love into preparing and baking. And we put it before God and he says, but I ordered steak. So we need to start with the Bible when seeking what God wants the church to be. And when I read the Bible, when I look at the church in the Bible, three main things emerge. The first one is love. These are people so transformed by the love of God for them that love overflows onto everyone around them. And so they love each other. They love each other so much that in Acts 2, they share everything. They love each other so much that they elect a team to care for the more needy members of their community. But they are not just about love for each other. These are a people on a mission. These are a people love the lost. They love the lost so much that they go out to reach them. They raise up and send out others. They start new churches. In the Bible, I see the church is a group defined by love. Secondly, they're a group devoted to growing spiritually. They want to know their God more. They commit themselves to growing closer to God. Actually, in Acts 2, we see that they have devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and prayer. They are devoted to grow spiritually. And thirdly, they are committed to living lives of worship. They give everything they have for Jesus. Their possessions, their time, their money, their gifts, their skills, and ultimately, under persecution, they even give their lives. We want a church to be about these same three things. Because ultimately, if we're not being the church God wants us to be, then we're missing the point. We want to align with what God wants of us. So we've summed up the things God has called us to do in three simple words. Connecting, cultivating, and celebrating. Let's look at connecting. Connecting is connecting people to Jesus and his church. It's all about love. It's all about God's abundant love for us. Pouring out in love for each other, caring for each other. It's all about love for the lost. Sharing the same heart of Jesus, the good shepherd who goes out and looks for the lost sheep. Now cultivating. It is cultivating faith in Jesus. It is about growing spiritually. when you cultivate a plant, you nurture it in a way that enables it to flourish. That is what we want to do with our faith. We want to grow more like Jesus, to grow our hearts and passion for Him. We want to do everything we can to encourage growth in our own hearts for God. And thirdly, celebrating life with Jesus. It's all about living lives of worship. We have so much to be thankful to God for, and we want to give everything back to Him. We want the word celebrating to describe us as a church. We want it to define our gatherings as we meet together and praise His name. We want it to have it define how we serve. We want the word celebrating to describe our hearts when we serve. Serving God is part of our celebration of Him in every aspect of our life, whether at work or at school or when we're playing sport or on holidays. We want to live lives celebrating Jesus. We want these words to define everything we do. Over recent years, it's been just fantastic to see the growth in our church, hasn't it? And we think we need to be vigilant as we seek to continue to be part of God's growing kingdom. Now we realize that it's easy to grow in activity without growing in fruitfulness. So we want to do what God has called us to do and to achieve it. To make what God has called us to do the only things we do. We want to release leaders who are committed to driving us towards each of these. We want to identify these purposes in our ministries and capitalize upon them. We want to plan events focused on pursuing each of these purposes and measure our successes and even failures against these purposes. We want to be focused on being the church God wants us to be. We want to be connecting people to Jesus and His church. We want to be a church full of hearts so desperately broken for the lost, so completely confident in the power of the gospel, and so thoroughly eager to build His church that the good news of Jesus is always on our lips and the love of God is clearly seen in our actions. We want to be cultivating faith in Jesus through His word and prayer. We want to be a church so humbled by the power of our Creator God, so in awe of the person of Jesus and so consumed by the transforming work of the Holy Spirit, so that we are forever submitting ourselves to His word and tuning Him in prayer. We want to be celebrating life with Jesus as we gather and serve. We want to be a church so overcome by the grace and compassion of God that we cannot help but rejoice, sing, and live out our lives in never-ending praise to Him as we regularly gather and joyfully serve Him all our days. Moving forward as a church, we don't want to just keep increasing in activity, no. We want to be a church consumed with being God's church, connecting people with Him and cultivating faith in Him, celebrating Him in everything we do. Friends, we want to be the church that God wants us to be.
Friends, let's take a seat. Thanks, Nathaniel. Well, our vision, our direction. Let me just reflect on some of our history, friends. If I was to reflect, we have about a 90-year history here in our church, and here at Quakers Hill. And I'd have to say the first 65 years of that 90 years was characterised as a very, very small rural community with small ministries that were sort of focused on the old church building near the railway line at Quakers Hill. We've been a small church in that time. We actually were so small we had to go to the larger centres. We were under the leadership of Riverston for some time, and then Blacktown, I believe, and then Doonside. These were the larger areas of the time. And we've been in this building now for 21 years. And in that time, many people have grown in their faith. Many people have come to faith in Christ in this community. We have a fine history here, friends, of being a beacon to this community. In 2009, Stanhope Church came and joined us. And in 2013, the parish of Riverston came under our leadership because it lacked resources. But in the 25 years, we have been witnessing something happening in our community that we live in. We've been seeing the growing suburbs, the growing number of suburbs. We've been seeing the houses, the new people, the children, the families, the roads, the shops, the schools, different religions, different ethnic groups. And our backyard has become a melting pot of the nations as we live and as we work together. On any given weekend, just numerically speaking, on any given weekend, we have about 700 people who worship in our 9 church services, which is in a community of, well, a larger community of about 100,000 people. So we're about 0.7% of our community. They say a church that has 2.5% is a church that is making real inroads in the community that it lives in, and it's able to make a real impact for Christ in a significant measure. If those statistics are right, and they were to reflect us and our population, we would be a church of, you know, a number of congregations of 2,500 people on a weekend. So with God's help alone, we're going to make this place even healthier and make it vibrant. We're going to, so that people can come to know Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. It's not about us, it's about God. And we're wanting a healthy church. And I understand healthy churches are the ones that are growing. And a healthy church is where its members are growing in their relationship with God. They're taking steps of faith in their life and in their ministry. A healthy church is one where its members are reading God's word, are praying, are putting God first in their lives, in their marriages, in their family, in their work, in their community, and in their church. In the book of the Revelation, the Spirit of God gives a report card on 7 churches. Isn't it? The first few chapters of Revelation. And some were encouraged, and some were commended, and some were spurred on to do the right thing. Now, if I was to happen to view our report card that the Spirit of God would give us, what would it look like? Well, it would say a lot of things, I guess. But I think it would tell us about how there are some lovely people here who are generous and are genuine and faithful people of God here in this church. Friends, I get to see the way you love each other. I get to see the way you interact with each other and care for each other and pray for each other. Friends, it is just fantastic to see this in our church. The Spirit of God is very active here in this community. But friends, we can never ever say that we have arrived and that we can kick back and take it easy. We need to continue to serve the risen Christ together. We need to be continually changed in the likeness of Jesus. We need to be a church that continues to look outward, outside of ourselves. We here in this building and in our church, we are the church of God. We are the family of God. We are the body of Christ. We are the temple of God. We are the bride of Christ here. We're not a book club. We're not a mutual encouragement society. We're not a theatrical group or musical society. And even though we might do some really good things in our community, we're not a welfare organisation either. Friends, we are God's ambassadors. We're in God's family, representing Him in our life and in our community. And we are not here for our own benefit. No. We are here to serve the living and true God. That's our whole purpose in life. So let us keep serving Christ. In the following next 3 weeks, we're going to be hearing that. And then Daniel's going to speak in regards to our vision here. And this morning I'm going to be outlining our 2020 vision for this church. It's a God-honoring vision, friends, and that we're putting out here this morning. Let me say a few things. God has not changed. The gospel has not changed. There are still lost to be found in Christ. But let me say, the community's changing and growing. The culture is ever changing around us. And so we need to think through again what we're doing as God's people in this place. We need to explore and embrace God's vision for us here at Life Anglican Church. You see, churches all around the world, including many close to ours, are changing the way they're thinking in regards to their ministry, to be ends-driven, to be purpose-driven. And as they do that, they're rejoicing in this blank canvas that as they go back to the Bible and see what the church is all about and what the Bible says about being a follower of Jesus. And friends, that's exactly mirrors our journey here in our church. The leadership of our church for many, many months has been scouring the Bible. We've been learning from the wisdom of those who've been scouring the Bible over the centuries to capture what it is that God would have us do as a church and to give a local expression of that here in that context we're in. This journey, by the way, has had moments of extreme excitement and has plenty of dead ends as we've been pursuing where God is taking us. But it's led us here this morning as we look at our 2020 vision. And what are the ends? What are the purposes that God has prescribed for us, His church? Well, what are we on about here in this church? If someone were to ask us, you know, what's it like at Life Anglican Church? What would we say? Well, we want to be a church about connecting people to Jesus and His people, cultivating faith in Jesus, and celebrating life with Jesus. Those three things. We've boiled it down, our purposes, so it's memorable from what all the Bible is saying. And this is what we're on about. These three things are going to shape what we are and what we do in our ministries, in our staffing, in our budgeting, in the life of our church here. We're actually going to plant a number, under God, plant a number of congregations, and this is going to be our DNA. We're super excited about the next stage in ministry, in our journey here. And we'll seek to communicate and refine and further localise and ultimately inspire people to take hold of this vision. It's a big vision. And in many ways, it's an unending vision. But it's what God desires of His church here, friends. And I want you to be open to what God is saying to you this morning. Connecting people to Jesus. Cultivating faith in Jesus. And celebrating life with Jesus. Because life is all about Jesus as a community. We celebrate this life in Jesus as God's people. And we need to marshal all our resources, all of them, to honour our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Your time, my time, our energy, our money, and our devotion. You know, there's so many activities we do as well, like play centre, like life groups, church services, kids' church. We've just heard about Quack this morning. And we need to be especially focused on people moving in or people who are already here. And I take it the vast majority of people in our community are families, particularly young families. We need to just to focus on those who are joining us. Friends, I'm asking you with me to roll up our sleeves, to get involved, to do God's bidding here. That's what it's about. Not being spectators, but being involved and making a difference in our lives. That passage that Robin read to us a few moments ago from Matthew 28, the Great Commission. When Jesus was going back into heaven, he was in Galilee on top of a mountain. And there we see, we hear that the disciples worshipped him. And we're told at this point, after all that he'd done and said, that some doubted. So Jesus, in response to that, declared these beautiful words. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," he said. And now he was commissioning them to go. Go. And because of that, he had the authority. They didn't doubt anymore. Jesus was sending them, and he promised to be with them always, even to the end of the age. But what was he sending them to do and go? What is God sending us to do and go? Well, first of all, I want to say we don't need to doubt. We don't need to hold back because Jesus is with us, friends, right now. And he's going to be with us forever. And he is with us every step of the way. And I just want to say then, if he's with us and we're told to go, it's our time. It's our watch. It's our job. In 2015, it's our day and our generation, and it's our call and duty to go. That's right, isn't it? But what did he send them to do? What is he sending us to go and do? And so we look in that passage. The first thing is to make disciples. Actually, you know, it was to be make disciples of all nations, we're told here. That's pretty weird, really, in one sense. We've got all nations coming into our backyard, especially over the next 10 years. We're called here to connect to people for Jesus. And we want them to connect to him and his people so that they can come to faith and grow in faith. And we need to organize ourselves and our church to be connecting. And over the next 6 years, friends, we're going to do our darndest to connect people to Jesus and his people. Yep. We're going to be a church full of hearts so desperately broken for the lost, so completely confident in the power of the gospel, that the good news of Jesus will always be on our lips, and the love of God so clearly seen in our actions. Over the next 6 years, we're going to do whatever we can to serve the risen God. It's a huge job. He promises to be with us. For some time now, we've been praying for more workers in the harvest. And we've got this huge backyard to deal with. We're actually getting some help. It doesn't negate us and our job, what we're doing. We just see the job so large, we're getting a number of our friends or new friends from Mississippi coming to help us. Yep, we need it. We're a mission field. You're in a mission field. In the next 6 years, under God, we're wanting to plant at least 7 new congregations. 7. We're wanting a new church plant in Marsden Park. At present, the diocese is looking for land, and we think, you know, the next number of months they'll settle on the property. And in time, we're going to put some church planters in there and build up a team to start a church. Why do I say Marsden Park? Well, it's going to be one of our 4 centres. Marsden Park, if you drive around there every week, it's massively changing. You know, it's going ahead in leaps and bounds. We're told that Marsden Park in the next 6 years is going to have 31,000 people in there. 31,000. The average size of an Anglican church in the community in Sydney is 19,000. So we need to be getting in there. At Riverston, it's just over 10,000 people at the moment. In the next 10 or 12 years, it's going to have 60,000 people in it. And look what's happening to Schofields these days. You know, it's not only does it add 15 minutes to whenever you drive now because there's so much roadworks and, you know, detours, and I think I don't remember this street. The Ponds is full. It's all going ahead north of here. You know, it's just going ahead. In fact, you know, there's Alex Avenue and there's Schofields. They say from here where you're sitting to the suburb of Riverston, it's going to be another 100,000 people in that area alone in the next 10 years or 12 years. 100,000 people. All those paddocks are going to be gone and people are going to make their homes here. In fact, the development here is going to go all the way to Vineyard in this part of Sydney. I want to paint to you, this is an urgent situation we're in. We can't be complacent. We need to see the field that God has planted us in. And we need to serve the risen Lord here. The second thing we're told in this Great Commission is we are to teach them. Enormous effort has gone into making sure our teaching is right here. That you are taught the Word of God, that you are, you know, discipled. We have faithful preachers here that do their darndest here to make sure you get it right and we get it right. We have a fine kids' church ministry here. We have life groups where we can grow in faith and nurture each other and pray. We're starting what's called a One Life course where people can learn about Jesus and being part of God's church. Yeah, we want you to grow. We want to grow others. And we've heard that, you know, in July this year, we're starting Life Ministry College. This is a new one for us. And at present, we have about 15 students, and most of them are actually international students. And they'll be assisting us in the various ethnic ministries that we presently have or want to start. They'll be studying 2 days a week in the classroom and 3 days a week practicum doing ministry in our community. just want to say I've been an ordained minister now for over 25 years, and it's as your senior minister, I just want to say it's been a privilege here to be serving with you. It really is. In fact, I'd have to say that the leadership team of our church is the best leadership team I have ever had the privilege of serving with. It's just fantastic. They're just fantastic. And our leaders, I know, they'll continue to do working hard and do a great job. But we also need your involvement and help. And you know, Andrew's got up and told us about Quack this morning, and there's a small army, actually there's a significant army of people in our church involved in ministry. Not just Quack or Holiday Kids Club, but we hear about people who lead and involved in life groups, Blast Zone, Girls Zone, Youth Life, SRE or Scripture in our local schools, in our nursing home ministry, our music ministry, our church services. We heard this morning that we were hoping to get Quack here, Holiday Kids Club, of up to 500 kids. That would be great, that they hear about Jesus. But not only that, we're wanting starting another one, two, this year, and have one in September, October. The needs are so great. And there's so many people here who do a great job and involved in those ministries. People here, friends, are so godly and loving and committed and generous and sold out to Jesus. Yeah, it's a privilege to be in leadership here with you. So what's our response? Can I ask you this morning, can you you're handed a document, probably when you came in, about our vision. I'll get you to read it another time. We're not going to go through it. But I want you to read it. I want you to pray over it. It's got those, you know, those three C's there, connecting, cultivating, and celebrating there. And I want you to see where you can fit in. I want you to pray for our vision. Pray that God will be honoured in a greater measure and people will come to faith here and grow in faith. And in this booklet, there's a number of blank pages. I want you to write what you can do. This is just between you and God. Write it down and work out how you can be part of God's work here in a greater measure. So you can use this as a guide for yourself as you reflect upon what God has called you to do in this place. Write it down. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask God if you're not doing anything of a greater significance, what can you do to serve the risen Lord here today? Friends, would you please come with us? Would you please come with us and make a difference here at Life Anglican Church? Make a difference here in this community. Will you join us as it's our turn in this time in history, in the history of this church and the history of this community? It is our watch, it is our responsibility to make a difference for Him. So let me call you to do that today, friends, and do whatever you can in the time that you have to serve Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that You are with us as we face our own future. And we also know that You are here to help us as we do Your bidding here in this community. We pray for our lovely church here. May we always be a church that is listening to You. And Father, we ask that You would protect us here and help us to be a church that is healthy and growing. And Lord, there are a lot of ministry here that is fresh and new. And help us to keep going and to bring honour to Your name. And as we've seen this morning, Lord, Your great commission for Your church here. Help us to be able to implement this 2020 vision, we pray. And we ask you, Lord, the lost in our community, that they would be found in you and that your kingdom be extended as they come to know you, Lord. Strengthen us as we reach out in your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.